discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything he is, that is why he told Abraham, he said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God himself.
Listen to Pastor O.T. Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you are excited to be in the house of the Lord? Can you give Jesus a big shout if you have a voice? Glory, 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 glory. Please, you may kindly take your seats in heavenly places. Father, we are grateful. Father, we are thankful. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your glory. Lord, bring your word to us in a very special way. Cause us to have understanding of your word. And grant us great wisdom. We receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened practically this morning, even in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to see you. I want to show you a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read verse 13. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13. Can we read a lighter version? Maybe TPT. This is Paul, the apostle, talking. He says, if we are out of our minds in a blissful divine ecstasy, it is for God. But if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Sometimes you go to church and you realize like, the people are just excited. It's like they are jumping up and down. It's not because of you. They are doing it because of the Lord. Paul says, if we think that we are out of our minds in a blissful divine ecstasy, it is for God. But if we are in our right minds, if you see us calm, talking nicely, it is actually for your benefit. Yeah. Then he goes to the next, verse. He says, for it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us. Because we are absolutely convinced that he has given us his life for all of us. This means all died with him. Next verse. So that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him, the one who died for us and now lives again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to bring your mind to something very important. You see, the more you get to know the Lord, the more you mature in the things of God. Okay? The more you mature in the things of God, the more you stop living a self-absorbed life. The more you fall in love with God, the more you want to live for him. You know, for some, falling in love with the Lord has to do with, you know, you are just in your room, worshiping God. I'm in love with God. I love. You have an eternal retreat in your room. I love your presence. Oh, I love you, Jesus. And then you're in your room. You have worship sessions, nice worship, beautiful. Then you go and do your business. Then you come home again. You continue with another song. You are praying. You are reading your Bible. You are worshiping in your house. Do you see? For some, that is what it means to love God. But Jesus showed us what it means to love him. Mm-hmm. He showed it what it means to love him. If you are passionate about him, there are things he showed that if you are passionate about me, if you love me, you will do some of these things. One of them is what I just mentioned, but it's not the only thing. Okay? John chapter 14, verse 21. Look at John 14, 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. So, keeping the word, reading your Bible, worshiping him, getting more and more intimate with him, it's very important. Okay? It's a show that you love him. He says that, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Because the more you read his word, the more you read about him, the more you get to know how much he has loved you. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, look at 1 John 4:19. John says, John the divine says, we love him. Our ability to love him, we love him because he first loved us. So our love for him is predicated upon the fact of his love for us. The more we understand how much he has loved us, the more we love him. The more you know how much, what he did for you, what he sacrificed for you. Jesus gave his life for you and I. Do you see? Jesus poured his blood. He used his blood to wash us away from our sins. All your sins, past, present, future, all your problems. Now the devil cannot accuse you anymore. No matter what happens, you can still get close to God because Jesus has washed us away from our sins with his own blood. Can you imagine? Is it not a blessing? So the more you find out about what he has done for you, the more you love him. So your ability to love God or your propensity of loving God. Do you understand the English? Your drive. You see, your willingness, your desire to love God is based on your understanding of how much he has loved you. If you don't understand how much he has loved you, you may not be interested in loving him. It's like a cycle. The more you understand how much he has loved you, the more you love him. Sometimes people say that, I don't have any desire for God. I don't have any desire to pray, to just find out more about what he has done for you. Okay? The more you find out about how much he has loved you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Look at the next verse. Then it says, and such were some of you. Like he doesn't identify you with these things. It says, and such were some of you. This is your past. This is how you were. Tell me about, and such were some of you. That is how you used to be. It says, and such were some of you. Then he goes on to say, but you are now washed. You are washed. Say, I'm washed. Say, I'm sanctified. Say, I'm justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. This is who you are. You are the washed. You are the sanctified. You are the justified. God has washed you from your sins in his own blood. God has brought you to himself. He has separated you unto himself. He has sanctified. He has set you apart. To be sanctified means to be set apart. God has set you apart for himself. You are now for God. You are now a temple of the living God. You are blessed. He calls you a saint. I mean, everywhere in the Bible, all the letters that Paul wrote, he will introduce them as saints. Hey, turn to the nearest saint by you. Saint perfect. Hey. It's not only Saint Obi who is a saint. You remember Saint Obi, the Nigerian actor? That was a Nigerian actor a long time ago. You are also a saint. Turn to the nearest saint by you. Okay, lift your hand like this. Lift your hand like this. And slap your neighbor and say, Saint... Saint Anthony. Saint Michael. What a blessing. You may not think of yourself as a saint, but actually the Bible says that you are a saint. It's either you believe what God is saying about you, or you believe what you're experiencing about yourself. That is why you have to. The more you read the Bible, the more you get to know what God thinks about you. The more you read, the more you get to know what God thinks about you. God thinks you are saints. 1 Corinthians 1 is there. You see it. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and sustain our brother. Next verse. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. Look at it. To them that are, he says, I'm writing to those who are sanctified in Christ. Called to be saints. It's actually not to be. The word to be is not there. If you have a good Bible, you see that it's in italics. If you have a good Bible. My guy, do you have a good Bible? Your Bible is not good. Because the call to be, okay, to be, the word to be is actually in italics or in brackets. Is it like that in your Bible? Or you don't have a Bible? You are sharing this Bible with this guy. It's true. Okay.
Yeah.
It's true.
Wow.
It's true.
Amazing.
It's true.
Wow. So, it's actually called saints. You are a saint. This is what God thinks about you. Lift your hand again and turn to your neighbor and slap your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are a saint. That's what God sees when he looks at you. Can you imagine? But when you look at yourself, what do you see? You have very bad thoughts concerning yourself. Like you are not a good person. You are a very bad person. But that's not how God sees you. You have to start to learn to see yourself the way God sees you. The prophet said that, let God be true and all men liars, including you. Including what you think about your opinion of yourself. Yeah. You think you are not a good person because of some things that have happened, some things that you have done, some whatever. God doesn't see you like, are you a child of God? If you're a child of God, God sees you like he sees Jesus. He sees you like he sees Christ. You are in Christ. You are in some place. You are in the place of Jesus Christ. That's what God sees. That's how God sees you. And the earlier you start seeing yourself like that, the better. Because as soon as you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, you start living the way God sees you. Your ability to live right is dependent on your ability to believe right. When you believe the right thing concerning yourself, you will end up living the right way. Change is not based on a decision that I'm going to change. You can decide as much as you want. Haven't you noticed since you became an older person that you have decided this year, when the year began, you said that you read your Bible. You have not read your Bible. You said that you pray. You have not prayed. You said that you'd be very serious. You have not serious. You said that you will not do this. You have not done it. Is it true or is it not true? Because that's not the key. Change doesn't come by decisions. Change comes by changing how you see yourself. By believing right. When you believe right, change comes. You see, the heart is for two things. The heart is for two things. The heart is for believing, and the heart is for speaking. The Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, do you see? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. What you are thinking is what you are, or what you are believing is what you are. What you are imagining is what you end up becoming. All the things that are happening around you are happening around you because that has been your imaginations over the years. That has been your believing over the years. Proverbs 23 verse 7. For as he thinketh, so is he. How you are thinking. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. The things that are happening around you as a result of what is inside your heart. Or what you have believed. The heart is for believing. Hello?
Hi.
Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Look at Romans 10, verse 9. Thou, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe where? In thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the heart is for believing. Then next verse, look at the next verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The heart is for believing. Okay? And what you have believed about yourself is what you end up seeing. If you believe that you're a poor person, I can tell you that is what will be showing up around you. If you believe that you're a sick person, you are sick. Okay? That's what will show up. If you believe that you are depressed, I'm depressed. You are thinking depressed. You feel depressed. Because your thinking and your believing affects how you even feel. Your imaginations affect how you even feel. Yeah. Job was afraid. Because he was afraid, what he feared is what came. What he feared was secret. Nobody knew. He was the only one who knew. But what he was afraid of is what ended up coming. Job chapter 2, chapter 3, verse what? 25, 24 and 25.
Yeah.
Go to 24. For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. That which I was afraid of is come. Your fear, it was inside. It wasn't outside. But before long, what was inside came to him on the outside. So what is on the inside is what ends up coming out on the outside. Hello?
Yes.
Good things don't just happen. Good things don't just happen. Jesus said it. Can you show us? In Matthew, Jesus was talking about out of the abundance of the heart proceeds. Out of the heart proceeds good things. Can you show it to us, please? Yes. Matthew 12, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Have you seen it? Huh. So good things come as a result of good things in your heart. Hello?
Hi.
You will not see good things around you. You will not see good marriage if you can't imagine good marriage. If you can't believe good marriage. You will not see the children coming out if you can't see the children from within. What you can't see with the eyes of your understanding, you can't hold with your hands. That is why God's greatest aim is to change how you see. Do you see? A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So evil things come because of how what is inside the treasure, what you are keeping in your heart. Hey! If I were, I'll change the way I see myself. What do you think? It's very important too. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Someone thinks it's like there are issues. I have issues. That's not the question. Like, I have a lot of issues in my life. No. Look at NLT. NLT will help us. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Your heart, what is going on in your heart, determines the course of your life, how your life ends up going. Is dependent on what is going on in your heart. Can you imagine how your life turns out? Is dependent on what is going on in your what you are believing. Hey, so all the lack of money is actually your fault. All the sicknesses, all the problems, all the issues, all the depression. All the sadness, all the failures, can you imagine? Of all kinds, it's just because of what is going on inside. We are not talking about this physical heart. We are talking about the center of your being. You see, the center of your being. Guard your heart above all else. Your heart is for thinking. Your heart is for thinking. And thinking is the same as believing. What you believe is what you think, and what you think is what you believe. It's the same as imaginations. Practically, these are thoughts, believing, imaginations. It's the same thing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Quickly, let's go there. We'll come back to this. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divider asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow. Then it says, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the heart is for thoughts. And intense plans, planning. This morning, when I was my son was with me, we were just preparing for service and we're putting pomade on ourselves. And he took a shower before me. So when I came, he had already used a pomade. And I noticed he has really put his hand into the pomade. He has gone into it. But when I saw what he had done, I just thought to myself, like, I remember when we were younger. The pomade, we'll take it on the side. You don't want it to finish. So you take it on the side. You don't go deep. You don't. You see, that boy is going into the pomade because he has abundance in his mind. He has not seen, he's not been taught to have lack. Those of us who grew up with lack, who grew up in an environment of lack, we take it on the side. Is it true? You take it on the side. Then, you don't want it to finish. Then you take on the side. Then, it's small. Use it to do what you take. Use it to do everywhere. Just one. Everywhere. So that pomade that you have bought can go for the next 6 months or 2 years. Hey! Change your mind. Change your mind. I tell you. You are thinking in terms of lack, not in terms of abundance. And as you are thinking, that is actually what is going to be happening. When we're growing up, towels, we didn't know how to change towels. One towel for 5 years. Even toothbrush, you use a toothbrush for 5 years. Is it true? Until the toothbrush has given up. The toothbrush is begging you, it's okay, let me go. You won't let it go. You graduate the towel, when you use it for 5 years, you give it to your younger brother. The towel is so dry. When you, it's like you are, oh, Charlie. The towel is a mantle. Hey, Charlie. I tell you. Hey. We have been raised with lack. You can't imagine yourself having multiple towels. Lift your hand like this and slap your neighbor and say, neighbor, change your mind. Yes. The heart is for thinking, intense, thinking, intense. You know, he says, what you are thinking and what you are believing determines the course of your life. Hey, it determines the course, how your life ends up becoming. As a result of what is going on in your heart. Yeah. Wow. So change the way you are thinking. Okay? Think of yourself the way God thinks of you. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God thinks that you are righteous. God thinks that there's nothing wrong with you. He says you are. He thinks that you are perfect. Yes. Thinks that you are perfect. And he wants you to. Christian development is in getting to know what God has said concerning you. The more you know what God has said concerning you, the more you are developing. The more you change your mind to suit what God has said concerning you, the more you are developing. That's Christian growth. When we talk about Christian growth, is actually growth in your soul. Your soul changing to suit what God has said. Yes. There's nothing like it because our spirits don't grow. Spirits don't grow. The spirits that were worrying your family many years ago, they say they've not grown. It's the same group of people. They don't grow. Spirits don't grow. And you're a spirit being. So you don't grow. Spiritually speaking. Okay. But when we talk about spiritual growth, we are talking about the development of your mind to suit what has happened in your spirit. To line up with what has happened in your spirit. That is why we read our Bibles. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is a classic example of spiritual growth. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The more your mind is renewed, the word renewed there is transformed, to have transformations of your mind. Your mind changing from one level of glory, in other words, changing to suit what has happened in your spirit. Because your spirit man is fine. There's nothing wrong with your spirit. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Look at Colossians 2, 9. Colossians 2, 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. He's talking about Jesus. He says, in Jesus dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Then he says, and you are complete in him. Verse 10, please. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. So there's no problem. This is not in reference to your mind. Is it in reference to your mind? Is your mind complete? is your body come? Do you know everything? You don't know everything. It's not in reference to your body or to your flesh. It's in reference to your spirit. You're a spirit being, you have a soul, you live in a body. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13 shows us. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13. Shows us that we are spirit beings, we have souls, we live in bodies. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he says, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. So you are a spirit. The word of God is addressed to your spirit. Do you see? It's addressed to your spirit. It's showing your spirit what to do. Do you see? With your soul and with your body. Go back to Romans chapter 12. Let's read verse 1. Am I confusing you? Can we read King James, please? And I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies. Who is he talking to? That you present your bodies. If you were a body, will he be talking? If you were a body, will he say to your body to present your body? How can your body present your body? It's like he's talking to someone else, isn't it? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies. So it's like someone owns the body. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, it's your reasonable service. But I'm coming there. He says, present your body. So he's referring to your spirit. Then the next verse says that, look at the next verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So you are not also your mind. It's like he's addressing your spirit to present your body and present your mind, because you are not your body, you are not your mind. When someone dies, he leaves a body here. Is it true? The real you is not body. The real you is spirit. And God's word is addressed to your spirit, showing you what your spirit should do with your body and with your mind and with every other thing. I hope you get it. Yes. It's so important. So Christian development is in the change, when the soul is changing to suit what has happened, because your spirit is complete, there's no problem with your spirit, then you start developing spiritually. That's what we mean. Okay? When you start thinking of yourself as a saint, like I said some few minutes ago, how do you think about yourself? Do you think you're a very bad person? Ask your neighbor, what do you think about yourself? Because as a man is thinking in his heart, so is he. Hello? Do you think you would die at 50? Some people have that in their mind. It's an image, something that is there. Maybe if I cross 50, it's okay. I mean, 50 is fine. You mean you have to, I've tried. When someone is starting ministry at 80, you are thinking of dying at 50. Hey, Moses started ministry at 80. Why are you thinking of yourself dying at 50? Stop thinking like that. You will have what you are thinking. It is coming to a cinema near you. It's coming practically. Yeah. Is the course of your life. Hey, as well though. All the things, just think about it for a moment. All the things that are happening around you is because of what you have been thinking. If you are not getting a job, it's because you don't believe that you can get a good job. You may even argue with me. I'm just saying what the Bible is saying. You may argue with me. Oh, but I believe. Check. Maybe you've not believed. Maybe you know you can't even see yourself. You can't see yourself. You see? Can you give me directions to your house right now? If I should say you should give me directions to your house. You don't need Google Maps to get to your house. You can use the pictures in your mind to direct somebody. You know where the Lotto kiosk is. You know where the bean seller is. You know where the king is. I mean, you can direct. Even those who are abroad can still direct. They know, even though there's no king seller or ice cream seller, they know what to say. Your ability to direct people with your mind, is your imaginative ability. And that is where everything functions. What is going on in that particular place? Your dianoia, your imaginations. That is what we are talking about. What do you think about yourself? What are you thinking about yourself? Hey, it determines the course of your life. Determines the course of your life. Hallelujah. Then it's also for speaking. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Your heart is also for speaking. Do you see? So what you are believing and what you are saying is what you end up getting. So the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what you are saying also makes a world of a difference. Hallelujah. What you are saying. I don't think that I'll ever amount to anything. Hey, that's it. You will not amount to anything. Something as important as our salvation came into existence. You experience salvation through these two things, through believing and speaking. Are you born again? How did you become born again? You became born again because you believed in some information that came to you and you declared the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. Or Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is how you came in, and this is how we continue. You believe, you speak. You believe, you speak. You believe in what God is saying concerning you, and then you declare it for yourself. All things are working together for my good. All things are working together for my good. You are not moved by what is going on. Whatever is happening is working together for my good. I am not disadvantaged in any way. No. I'm a child of God. I'm not disadvantaged in any way. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes. All things are mine. All things are mine. Because I'm the heir of God. I'm a joint heir together with Christ. Are you a child of God? Then you are a joint heir together with Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, 17. Believe and speak. Tell me about believe and speak. Very important, okay? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Colon. Reverend George talks about colon, right? Colon. And if children, then heirs. Are you a child of God? He says, if you're a child of God, then you're an heir of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. Then it says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We are joint heirs together with Christ. So I'm an heir. All things are mine. All things are mine. All things are mine. All things. That's what I believe concerning myself. I will never be poor. The heir of God, poor. Never. Never, never. Money is coming to me from everywhere. I was having a conversation with someone, and then he said, oh, my Sunday offering was 50,000 Ghana cedis. Not seed sowing, my Sunday offering. And it means that in the week he received 500,000 Ghana cedis. This is his weekly offering. You don't believe it? No, I'm talking to the person. The person cannot lie. He's a very holy person. There are people who will say some things and you know that he's lying. This one, Christ is a very holy person. Very holier than all of us. There's nothing like that. You know I'm joking, right? But what I'm trying to let you know is that the guy, it's not like he cannot lie. 50,000 Ghana cedis as offering, which is that's 10% of what he received during the week. 500 million. Is it 500 million? Is it 500 million? Old Ghana cities. Yes. Old Ghana cities. Are you sure it's a million? No, it's not 500 million. It's 500 billion. It's 500 billion. Share. You are talking about the 50,000, right? Yeah, yeah. That's old 500 million. Yeah. That's offering. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. No, no, no. I'm saying what he said. I'm not saying you say in Jesus' name. He just, this is my offering. Thank you for blessing me during the week. Thank you so much. Can you believe? Can you think like? Can you think that you will give offering of 50,000? If you are not thinking like that, it will not come. Will you say that it's too big for God? Hey, 50,000. Then I'll give another tithe of 50,000. That's 100,000. Hey, what will the church do with it? Will you use it for dummy? What do you mean by what will the church use for, do with it? See, all things are mine. Yeah. See yourself doing big things for God. Can you see yourself doing big things for God? Can you see yourself building houses for your pastors, your mother, your father, your children, building for them? You build like hen coop, like you are building, you build quickly. 6 months you are done with a 5-bedroom house, another 6 months you are done with another 5. Can you see yourself doing that? That's what I'm talking about. What you are seeing is what you become. Can you see yourself sponsoring the gospel? Can you see yourself doing something for the Lord, changing people's life, preaching, teaching, changing people's lives? You have to believe. Your love for the Lord is dependent on what, how much you understand His love for you. How much you know, what you know He has done for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul believed so much in what God had done. He said that we thus judge that if one died, then we're all dead. The love of Christ constrained us. Can you show it to us? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ constrained us. It's the love. How much Christ has loved us. Pushes us, compels us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all. Let's read the TBT. The TBT is nice. It's easy to understand. TBT. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us. This he says, Christ, His love for us, not our love for Him, but His love for us. How much He has loved us. He has loved us. He gave Himself for us and has brought us to the place of righteousness. Now we are saints. Now we can have good things come to our lives. Now we can prosper. Now we can enjoy. Jesus said, I'm come that you may have life and have it to the full. What a blessing. I came so that you may have life. You may have it all. You may live a higher life than what ordinary people live. You see, you can't marry a dog. People marry dogs in some places, but I mean, it's not normal. It's not supposed to be like that, isn't it? Because you can't have children with dogs. You can't have a dog cook for you. The dog is preparing salad for you. By the time it's done, the fare will be inside the salad. You can't have that. Is it true? Yeah. So because we couldn't have relationship with God, God gave us His life. So that He can elevate us to His standard, so that we can relate with Him. And His life is a higher life than human being. Is human life higher than dog life? Does a human being have the opportunity of getting more than a dog? I mean, if you are born as a dog and someone is born as a human being, it's very different. I mean, we can't compare you. Is it true? The life of God is higher than the life of man. The difference between the life of man and the life of a dog cannot be compared to the difference between the life of God and the life of man. The life of God is way higher than the life of man. The benefits that comes with the life of God is far higher. You see, human beings fall sick every now and then. The life of God, it doesn't have that. So no matter what's going on with you, you lay hold on what God has said concerning you rather than what is happening around you. Okay? Paul says, we thus judge that if one died, then all were dead. So that those who live should no longer live unto themselves. So go back to TBT, please. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. TBT. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us, because we are absolutely convinced that He has given His life for all of us. This means all died with Him. Next verse. So that those who live, are you living now? Are you living now? He says, those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives. Living a self-absorbed life has to do with you living for yourself. You see, living with only you in mind. How can you receive the good news of what Jesus has done on the cross and not tell anyone or help anyone? Why are you not sharing your faith with another person? Why are you not helping someone get to know Jesus? You have to help someone get to know Jesus. Jesus showed us what it means to love him. The first one is to flow with him, to keep his word, to keep his commands, to worship him, to do all of that. But the second is to feed his sheep. John chapter 21 verse 15. Look at John 21:15. After they had had breakfast, so when Jesus had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." You love me, feed my lambs. You love me, feed my, feed the young people who have come around. Feed the new converts who have come around. Feed, I mean, do something. Teach them the word of God. Why am I preaching? I'm preaching because it's an expression of my love for Jesus. That's all. It's not because I want to get something. It's because of my love for Jesus. Hello? Yes. Why am I traveling? Is it because I like to travel? No. If you have not sat in plane before, you think that plane is fun. Yes. How can you? I'm going to board a plane and I know that there's been a plane crash just a few hours prior to me boarding the plane, and I board happily. Is it because I don't care about my life? Because every time you board the plane, the probability that you don't land is very high. We don't know. You can't jump out. Yes. Yes. I was coming with Reverend George to Accra. We almost crashed. The plane almost fell. 2 days later, I was back in the air going somewhere to go and preach. Yes. I have to overcome that fear. Yeah. When the plane shakes, I mean, that experience was so bad. So when the plane thing shakes a bit, I start blasting in tongues. Palagadabaya. And I start declaring my righteousness. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I realize that Reverend George is not in that plane, so I have to take responsibility. When Reverend George is in it, you can go to bed. But when it's not in it, you have to take responsibility. Do you understand? Yeah. Reverend Tedem was going to come to Accra with Reverend George. He said, "Oh, I can't sleep." I said, "Oh, why?" He said, "Charlie, you go take responsibility." Hey. It's not fun. It's like you have to move around. It's like going flying from here. I beg. Every fly is an opportunity to die. I'm still moving. I'm still doing some of those. It's just because of my love for my Lord. The more I think about how much he has loved me, the more I want to do something for him. But you can't say you are falling in love with Jesus and not want to do what he wants you to do. No. It doesn't work. You love me. He said it to him 3 times. Feed my lambs. Next verse. Verse 16. He said to him again, for the second time, "Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." Paul was not happy with the people in the Hebrews who he had written to in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. He said that for the time you ought to be teaching. I'm expecting that you become a teacher by now. I'm expecting that you teach somebody what you know. How come you are not teaching anyone? How come you come to church alone? Ask your neighbor. How come you come to church alone? You have been coming to church for 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. You keep coming alone. You keep hearing the word of God alone. Only you. You want. It's a sign of selfishness. Some people don't even want to go to the church to even start with. Yeah. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. I'm expecting you to be teaching somebody by now. Yes. I'm expecting you to be helping someone by now. Have you received the love of God? If you've received the love of God and you understand the love of God, you would want to feed his lambs. You would want to feed his sheep. You would want to help somebody. You'd want to help someone to stand. Yes. Hallelujah. What do you think about what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you know that if this church, this place can seat 2,300 people? Yes. There are about 2,000 chairs here right now. So even when you have 1,000 people here, it still doesn't look full. Do you see? Now, the 2,000 chairs are sitting down. Not for display. It has been put there. God has built himself this cathedral here. If God is even speaking to me to add another 1,000 to it, add 700 more seats to this place to make it 3,000. So I'm coming to do a gallery at the back. And a gallery will run from this side to this side, straight like that, underneath the lights. The lights that is over there, you see 1, 2, 3, the third one is going to be on that line, all the way going to that other side. And 700 people will be seated. Is it 700 or 800? 700 will be seated on that. It's coming to a cinema near you. Now, why is God saying we should do all those things? I'm just following the Lord. Because God wants more people to hear what you and I are hearing. Do you see? Now, the church will be full when you decide that you are going to help feed somebody. When you decide, the apostle of grace was the number one guy who brought a lot of people to the Lord. The one who brought the message of grace, Apostle Paul, the one who was given that particular opportunity to bring the message of grace, bring the righteous circle, was not sitting down. He raised many churches moving around. So you can't hear the gospel of grace, the gospel of how much God has loved you, and just be there. No, he says the love that he has had for us, and he's showing you what made him do what he did. He says, the love compelled me to do more for the Lord. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, you don't hear about his love and then you sit down. You don't hear about his righteousness and say, someone else must hear about it. The whole gospel is about the righteousness of God. So as you are hearing the message of righteousness, the next thing you should be thinking about is who to share it with. You will know it when you teach it. You see, I used to be a teacher. My brother here used to be, we've taught for many years. I taught in a secondary school from 2008 to 2013. Can you imagine? I don't know where you were. Where were you? You were in primary. She says she was in primary. Yes. I was teaching in a secondary school. Yes. And what I was... At a point, I didn't need notes to teach. I've taught the thing. When I come, the kids feel that I'm a superman. Because I'm dictating notes to them. I don't have physical notes. I'm just dictating the notes to them. Because I've taught the thing over and over and over again. Those of you who are in school, if you don't teach somebody the course that you are learning, you will not know it. Jennifer, they say we should talk to you. If you don't teach somebody, if you don't teach somebody, you will not know the thing. When you teach someone, you get to know it. Hello? Yeah, you see, I don't have any book I'm teaching from. How many scriptures have I quoted since I started talking? Plenty. It's because I've been teaching it over and over and over to different groups at different times. So it's not a problem, it's inside. When I wake up, the verses are there. When I'm going to bed, the verses are there. Wherever I am, it's there. It's too late for me to fail. Just because I received the word of God and I learned how to teach it to others. I learned how to tell others about it. I learned how to gather people and tell them. That's why we have cell groups. What are you doing in your cell group? Are you having plans of starting a cell? Yes. The more you receive his love, the more you want to give his love.
Yeah.
Why should the other person... Sometimes we don't think that the heaven and hell is real. Did you see? We don't think that's the heaven and hell. So you don't want to preach to anybody. Receive grace to preach to everybody. Yeah. Receive grace to be concerned about others. Others. Someone must receive. Someone must be blessed. Someone must be helped. Do you see? Yes. If you love me, feed. Don't sit in your room and do worship alone. After you have done the worship, step out and go and feed somebody. Step out and go and bless somebody. Step out and help someone. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. If you are anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, he says you go about. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He went about. So you can't be someone who is hearing about the word of God, hearing about the message of righteousness, and be sitting down. No. No. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then it says, for in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm not ashamed of preaching the right thing. I'm not ashamed of giving it out to people, because that is where the righteousness of God is revealed. Do you see? So, I mean, don't be a Christian who is just sitting, enjoying, receiving. You will become fat in the spirit, and you explode. Yes, spiritual obesity. You shouldn't be a coin that they are polishing every time. They are polishing. Hey, it will finish. AKA Estubehi. Hallelujah. Preach to somebody. What do you think? Change someone's life. Yeah. Bring someone to the house of God. Sheep must give birth to sheep. Have you seen a sheep going to the labor ward? It's pushing. And then a human being comes out. No, sheep give birth to sheep. Sheep give birth to sheep. So the church will grow. Our church will have, we can have 2,000 people sitting here when you bear fruit. I'm not the one to bring the people. I'm doing my part of the deal. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. I'm doing my part of the deal. You must also do your part of the deal. Okay? Yes, sir. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? Next verse. For the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Can we read TPT? For those of you who have been seeing people come to you, gather you, put you in bars and come. That is your future. Lift your hand like this. Lift your hand like this. And slap your neighbor. And tell your neighbor, that is your future. Who are you bringing? Where's your bus? Where's your bus? You love Jesus. Where's your bus? Hello? Yeah. You love Jesus. Where's your bus? Where's your cell? You love Jesus. Why are your five people? Why are your five? How come you are just walking into the church every time? You've been walking to the church for the last 8 months on your own. Every time you are coming alone. Hey. Their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. You have your works. Some people will never hear the gospel until you preach them. They won't even listen to me. I can't lead them to Christ. You are the one who will lead them. Your voice has been designed for them, for salvation. Yeah. Some people will stay in the church because of you, not because of me. Not even because of the preaching. I used to go to a church. It wasn't because of the preaching. It was because of my friends. My friends were in the church and would buy pie and sobolo. That time there was no sobolo. It was coke. Pie and coke. Sobolo is recent. We didn't have sobolo in the 90s. I don't know how come. It wasn't there. It wasn't popular. Asana was popular. Do you know Asana? Yeah. There's an Iopark name for Asana. Maybe later I'll tell you. I was going to church because my friends were there. Hello? Really? How many of you went to church because your friends were there? So where are your friends today? Where are your friends?
Oh no.
Hey. Huh? Their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers. So my calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. Our enlargement is dependent on you. The body of Christ is built. If the more you get to know the Lord, the more you want to build His church. You want the church to become large. There's nothing wrong with the church being large. I'll be happy to have plenty cars all around. We can't have car park. Overflow. We have second service, 3,000. First service filled. Second service, 3,000 filled. Third service, 3,000. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a good thing. It's not a demonic thing. It's a very good thing. You should believe in that. You should think that that can happen. We have many people have, you see, there's a church in Ghana that boasts of having 10% of Ghanaians in their church. Even 11%. Church of Pentecost. Yes, Church of Pentecost some time ago, just maybe a year ago, we're talking about having over 3 million Ghanaians in their church. 3.36 or something like that, which is about 11% of Ghana. 11% of the country is in one church. Do you think they can't change? They can't change a lot of things. You can't just fool around. Yes. Our power increases when a lot of people are in the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. It should, you don't believe in a small church. A small church is not correct. Small church is not what? It's not correct. It's not supposed to be like that. Someone is saying on TV that my church is small. You are telling me my church is not correct. Let me show you a verse. I'm showing you a verse. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Hold on. Let me show it to you. John chapter 15, verse 8. We'll come back to this. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Let's read Amplified. Let's read Amplified. Small church is not, it's not what God wants. He wants you to bear fruit. Can we read it together? This is not to pastors. It's to every child of God. Can we read it together? I want to go. When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified. Have you seen it? The Father is honored and glorified when you bear much fruit. Not few fruit, much fruit. Much fruit. When the fruits are a lot. God likes it when everything is a lot. When your worship is a lot. When your Bible reading is a lot. When your praying is a lot. When your evangelism is a lot. When you're feeding God's children is a lot. When the church is a lot. That God likes it. He says He's honored. Oh, it's not. This is Jesus talking. Nobody knows God more than Jesus because Jesus is God. So if He says, when you bear, produce fruit, much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified. And you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. Wow. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, you don't sit in your room and then worship God. You say you are worshiping the Father in your room. What are you talking about? I had someone saying that to me. I was like, you are not, you've believed the wrong thing. Like the more you are getting to know God, the more you want to stay home. You want to stay home. Yes. Even God came down, you will not move. They want to stay home, and now they have this. Some of these people were pastors. So they were pastors. Now they say they believe in the grace of God, they believe in the love of God. They are intimates with God, so they stay home. God is everywhere, so they stay home now. You've believed wrongly. That's selfishness. You've believed wrong. You believed one. You didn't believe the whole thing. Yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. We have to teach somebody. Why are you 5? Why are you 10? Why are you 12? Why are you 20? Why are you 13? Where is your one? Where is your one? Where is that one person that you are teaching? As I'm preaching, some people don't understand what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, some people don't understand what I'm saying at all. They will understand after the service when you sit down with them and talk to them, share with them. Do you understand what you said when he spoke about this and that? And you explain to the person. That's when the person will understand. Yes. God likes it when we bear much fruit. Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 4, sorry, verse 11. TPT. I like it. TPT, please. And He has appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. Next verse. And their calling is to, Pastor Eli's calling is to nurture you and prepare you. All the holy believers, He's calling you holy. You are holy. That's how God sees you. holy believers to do their own works of ministry. There's your own work. I can't do yours for you. Hey, you have your part to play. Do your finger like this and put it in your neighbor's eye and say, you. You have your own. Tell your neighbor, your own. You have your own. Rosalind, you have your own. You have your own. Rebecca, you have your own. Sandra, you have your own. Eh? You have your own. Did you put your hand in your neighbor's eye? Your own. Some people are afraid of their neighbors, so they don't relate with their neighbor at all. You see, you don't have a beloved. I'm helping you to get close to some, but I'm just helping you. When I say turn to your neighbor, by the time the service is over, you realize that you have gotten to know your neighbor. You can say hello to your neighbor. You keep going. You have been going and coming. Nobody's your friend. You don't have any. Nobody's. Hey. Yeah. Your own. Where is your wedding? It's like your wedding is not in view. Because you've not been turning to your neighbor to say anything to your neighbor. Oh, Charlie. It's not only beloved. You'll be surprised that your neighbor can become your business partner, that you'll be making money together and doing a lot of things together. Listen, church is a family. You know, church is a family. And when you come to church, you must become a part of the family proper. Yeah, you benefit when you are part of the family proper. Yeah, recently one of our sisters needed to do a surgery and they were charging so much. And we said, when we got to, there's a surgeon. We have surgeons in the church. There's a surgeon who can just do it for you quickly. Just cut and take the thing out for less than one third of what they were charging. Yeah. And if we don't know, you are not part of the family. We don't really know. You just come, you just go. When we say talk to your neighbor, do you not talk to your neighbor? Lift your hand and say, neighbor, I'm talking to you. I like you, whether you like it or not. I like you. It's not a proposal. I ask your neighbor, I like you. It's not a proposal. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, you have your own ministry. There's something God wants you to do. There are things God wants you to do. It's very important. Someone will join the choir because she has seen you join the choir and sing. Mm-hmm. Yes. Someone will become an usher because she sees that you are smiling. When she's coming in, you smile. Yeah. Can you imagine? It's an amazing thing. You should not just hang around not doing anything. You must be a part of what is going on. You must become a part of what is going on. Like, become something in the cell. Become something in a department. Do something. You have your own part. It's amazing. You have your own part. Look at Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Revelation 14, verse 13. All of us, everybody sitting here, we are all going to die one of these days. You will cross 70 with ease. But I can tell you that you will not be here forever. You will not be here forever. Even the earth will not be here forever. One day the earth will melt, to be rolled away like a carpet. Yes, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Everything we are around, everything is going to get old and new will come. Yeah. Look at this. He says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Those of us who are born, he says, those who die in the Lord from henceforth, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Their works do follow them. You see, we are children of God. As a child of God, God won't judge you, or God will. There's nothing like that. There's no judgment for a child of God. But as servants of God, God will ask us questions concerning what we did with our lives, concerning what we did with the one talent he gave to us, the five talents he gave to us, the two talents he gave to us. You ask us. Your works, it says, your works do follow you. What you did for him, out of your love for him. You see, what you did for him. How many people did you stabilize in his house? Yes. Who were you preaching to? Who were you helping? Who were you helping to become what God wants him to become? Who were you praying for? Who were you visiting? Who were you doing all those things for? He wants you to do something. Who are you dancing for? Yes. Your dance is what will make someone stay in the church. You'll be surprised. Yeah. Your light, the way you are keeping the light. You'll be surprised. Someone is in the church just because of light. Oh, yeah. Pictures. Because the pictures you are taking here. That's why someone comes to church, so that the person can take a picture after church. I mean, various, but whatever it is, the person has come. Hallelujah. Yes, your works do follow. It says their works do follow them. Have you read Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 before? Let's read Revelation 22, verse 12. Yeah. Revelation 22, verse 12. Yeah. This is Jesus. It says, and behold, I come quickly. Behold what? I come quickly. Whether Jesus comes whilst we are here on earth, or you go and meet him, there will be a meeting one day. Whether you are raptured or you go through death, whatever it is, there will be a meeting. You will meet your Lord. Or you don't want to meet Jesus Christ. Why don't you want to meet Jesus Christ? Maranatha, the more you love him, the more you want him to come. The more you love Jesus, the more you are interested. How many of you want to be married? You are looking for forward to your marriage. You are looking forward to your marriage, right? Yeah. Yes. Jesus is our husband, though. You know Jesus is our husband. Well, we must look. The more you are developing spiritually, the more you want to marry. The more you want the Lord to come, because you are going to be married to him. Yes. You are going to be married to him. Yes. He says that, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Not according as his relationship with me shall be, but his work. According as his work shall be. What you did for him. Do you love the Lord? What are you doing to show that you love him? He demonstrated his love. Greater love has no man than this, than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. He demonstrated his love. Yes, love must be demonstrated. Love is not just words. It's not just saying, I love. Kiss the Lord. I love your presence. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love your presence. After that, after you have done that, then you demonstrate your love. Yeah, demo. Show working. You can't tell the lady, I love you, and you are not putting a ring on it. You are not putting a ring on it. Where is your ring? Tell the guys, where is your ring? The ladies, tell the guys, where is your ring? Where is your cake? Where is your honeymoon? Where are all those things? Where is what? Where is the bride price? Where is the bride price? Pastor Lee is acting as a lady, right? Where is the bride price? Where is your bride price? Where is your bride price? You say you are in love. You always say you are in love. Kasaya day. Say it.
Kasaya from a show working.
Where is your work? You say you love me. Where are your visits? You are not visiting me. All the boys who you say you are in love, whatever, no visits. You don't buy anything. You don't take us out. You don't open the door. You don't. What is wrong with you? Every time you want us to pray, shall we begin to pray? Hey, there's time for everything, my brother. Repent.
That's why the sisters don't want to marry. They don't want to marry some people because it's like we are not seeing much. Emily, am I lying? Well, no, you're not seeing much. Like, why are your works? Where are your works? The ladies tell the guys, where are your works? Ah, you love the lady? Hey, me, when I fell in love with my wife, let me tell you one of the things I did. One day, my wife's birthday is on 14th February. She's a Valentine baby. And when I fell in love with her, while she was at close to Cote d'Ivoire border, listen, I bought a birthday cake and I sat in a trotro bus. The bus was shaking. I was holding my birthday cake like that. All the way to that place. And I went to give her the birthday cake. Hey! My works were showing. Yeah. My works were showing. I tell you. When she saw me, she said, hey, you love me. You love me. You love me. I'll say yes to you. I mean... When I think about it, I'm like, hey, Charlie, boys are bro. One day, a friend of mine, you know, I'd close from work, and we had called her that I wanted to come in. She said, well, I should come around 6:30. And I'd close from work around, let's say, 5. And my friend was driving. He took me to Edum, you know, and it was not 6:30. So 1.5 hours more. And my friend says, well, he has to go and do something. So he's going. And he asked me, so what will you do from now to 6:30? I said, well, I'll just walk around the doom, walk around, and then I'll... And that was what I did. I walked around for 1.5 hours. When it was getting close to 6:30, I started walking towards Konfanoche to go and see my beloved. Do you understand? My beloved is mine, and I am my beloved. I'm in love. Where are your works? Show me your works. I can't understand. You say you are in love. We can't see anything. The Lord is also asking you, where are your works? Where are your works? The Lord also has a love language. His love language is bringing souls to Him. Yeah. That's His greatest expression of His love. For God so loved that He gave. You love Him, you also give. You love, you give. God commended His love towards that. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Sinners must come to Him. Sinners must be stabilized. The great commission must be done. And it depends on you and I. You say you love the girl. Why are your calls? Why should the girl be asking you? You don't call me. Why are you not calling? You to the girl. Can't you see that something is wrong? You can't see that something is wrong. The lady that is asking, why are you not calling? Can't you see that there's something wrong? Because if he's in love, he'll be calling you all the time. Yeah, me, I was calling all the time. My wife told me that it's okay, reduce the calls. I'll call you back. Don't worry, reduce the calls. Call every time. Yeah. Morning, afternoon, evening. There used to be a song playing in my heart. Oh, Lord. When will this girl call me? I don't know. These days, like when people fall in love, they don't really know what's going on. They don't call. Eh? Text. Don't worry. But text properly. We are not seeing the text. Why should you be worried about whether you will text or you will not? What is that? Did I come and look for you? You are the one looking for me. So come and, I'm my friend. Lift your hand like this and slap the nearest guy by you. My friend, stop that. Hand, you are giving short hand text. My friend, show your love. Hallelujah. Are you in love with the Lord? Let's show working by filling every chair here. Yeah. I can't wait for a Sunday morning that we have come to church and everywhere is filled. You have 2,300 people seated and enjoying the word of God because you chose to love the Lord by showing working. Hallelujah. Stand up and thank God for what you are sharing with me. Thank God in a minute. Father, we are grateful. Father, we are thankful.
bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.